Hi, my name is Belinda. Over 20 years ago, my husband became very ill. It shook us both up pretty badly. Through prayer, I started learning to trust the Lord for every detail of our lives. And worrying steals a person's energy, I think. So instead of worrying, I decided to trust the Lord, so I would go to Him in prayer. That's how I learned not to worry.
Can that make a difference? Can praying, changing your heart, your mind toward worry through prayer make a difference? Hey, Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living. That's really the question. We talk about worry, we talk about prayer. And I'd love to hear your stories live on our storyline, our comment line today. All the calls that we need for the program have already been recorded. This is an archive best of program, but I do want to hear from you. We love hearing your comments and we listen to them carefully. So the question really is, what have you done to stop worrying? What's worked for you? Has prayer been a part of it? And if so, in what way and how has that made a difference? Give us a call. 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. You know, one of the things I learned when I was in graduate school and preparing for my training in counseling psychology was I had one of those aha moments with the professor as we talked about worry. And it's a secular institution, but they were talking about worry, and he made the statement that the further we get away from this moment in time, isn't it interesting how worry increases? If we get too far into the future, if we get too far into the past, worry goes up, but living in this moment. And that's really what God wants us to do. We understand our destination. We understand where we're headed. We understand where we've come from. But we live in the moment. The power of living in this moment and allowing God to speak to us this moment. I think as a believer, that begins with prayer. How about you? Molly, welcome to the program. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Dr. Randy.
Good. Appreciate your call. What has God taught you about the power of prayer?
Well, I see what worry does to people. It destroys their spirit. It permeates their life and keeps them from seeing what is good and what God has provided for us. So a long time ago, I just stepped back from a lot of things, politics, the biggest thing, because that's, I think, one of the biggest stressors. And I just started focusing on what God wanted me to do. And He showed me in so many ways that we're called to give Him glory. We are His creation. He has good things for us. And even if it's just, being observant of our surroundings and seeing the flowers, the birds, the weather, anything that touches your life, if you recognize it as being from God, then you can be joyful for that, and you can allow that to permeate your life. So I look for God sightings. I look for things that I know that are important and pure. And He's called me to be an evangelist and a teacher, and that's what I, share with women that I work with, that this worry is insidious, and it is going to infect you, and it's going to infect those around you. So let's change our perspective, and let's look at the things that God has for us now in this life, and look forward to the glorious time that we're going to be with Him in heaven. And that's the way I pattern my life. And of course, within that, He will show you who to pray for, what to pray for them. Just to be a beacon and a light in a world that is growing darker. Mm. But He's going to have His way. It's going to be the right way. We're protected. We're loved. We're His children. It's all going to be okay.
Mm. Good reminder. Thank you, Molly. We become what we think about, don't we? We become what we allow to penetrate into our lives. Maybe we need to turn off some of the things that are less focused on peace and hope. Not burying our head in the sand, we live in a world that can create a lot of worry, but keeping our focus clearly, as it says in Philippians 4:8, and those things that are true and right and admirable and praiseworthy and of good report. The power of prayer. When did you take that left turn from the direction you were headed and say, hey, maybe it was a right turn, going in the right direction in the power of prayer? 888-888-1717.
Hello, my name is Steve. about 5 months ago, I was at the doctor's office and I heard the word that everybody dreads to hear, cancer. For about a week, I struggled with it, worrying, praying, scared. And as I was praying one day, about a week after finding out about it, the Lord brought to mind things that had happened in my past life. You would think that he had brought forth the good times, but he didn't. He brought to mind all of the bad times that had happened in my life. The times when everything was going wrong, rock bottom, and I was praying for help, for his intervention. And he showed me that every time that I had prayed, he answered those prayers. Almost always, those answers were different than what I had hoped for or thought I would get. Not only were they different, sometimes they were totally the opposite of what I was asking for. Then he showed me that each and every one of those answers, in the long term, were better than anything that I was asking for. And then he showed me that he doesn't change. He's always the same. And why would I worry about something like this when he'd already answered my prayers, and that no matter what happened, no matter how it turned out, it was going to be for the better? And he took away all of the fear, and I have joy now, even though that I'm dealing with the cancer. And I know that no matter what happens, it's going to bring glory to God. And I wanted to share this with the world, hoping that maybe this will help somebody else that's going through this.
Amen. That's why we do this. Thank you for telling us your story. They come in by the hundreds, by the way. We'd love to have yours be in queue so we could share it as well. 888-888-1717 is the number. Angie in Michigan, how are you today?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
Good, good. Talking prayer, what have you learned?
Well, you know, my prayer life started after I spent a career, almost 16 years in a career, and I found myself at a very weird intersection where I was going to be homeless with my three children for the first time in my entire adult life. And I really struggled with it because, for me, I've always been able to stand on my own 2 feet, and I didn't, and I really meant it. Prayer in my life has always been very present, and you need to be very careful what you pray for when it comes to God, because, you know, I prayed for him to take everything because I wanted him to take everything out of my life that didn't serve him. Mm-hmm. And when you ask a prayer like that, you cannot turn around and worry about what God does take out of your life because it's not serving him to his purpose. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And when I finally realized that he got me to a point where, okay, yes, I am going to be homeless with my children, or I was at that point, he used it for his good. He knew I was not where I needed to be to enhance his purpose. And I think that took a lot of worry away from me once he did start revealing that to me. You really have to be careful. You need to mean it when you pray, and you need to not worry about when he does start taking things out of your life, because it is for a purpose. You can't pray in one hand and then say, but you can't take that. Or, you know, pray to God to move you where he needs to move you and say, but I don't want to go there. Because that's not how he works. If you ask, he's going to give it to you. So it's very easy. Now, I do have my days, and I struggle with it. I still worry, but I'm getting better at praying, and it's not as scary as it used to be.
And you learn, as the scripture says, we know that ultimately all things do work together for good to those, okay, make sure that clause is in this sentence, to those who are called according to his purpose. And you're absolutely right. If you're going to pray, make sure you understand what you're praying about. It's a good reminder. Angie, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Arizona. Michael, welcome to Intentional Living Center today.
Thank you so much, Randy. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for your call. We're talking about prayer. What have you learned?
Yes, sir. I have learned through experience, because, you know, he says, you know, come to know God, not just by mere knowledge, but by experience. And for many years, I had pushed God away. I was angry from things that happened in my past. And I'll tell you, one day after I had come to be involved in a ministry, straight off the streets, addicted to drugs, in and out of prison, just lost and hopeless, and I thought that God's love was unattainable for people like me, especially me. And so there was no personal experience with God other than being rejected, I thought, by the world and by God. And I've learned to come to experience God and the goodness of God in the land of the living. And I got to witness a friend of mine after I had not known how to pray for many years. And I definitely wasn't going to pray out loud. And Cheryl, our director at Jacob's Journey House Ministry here in Arizona, had asked for someone to pray. And Will had stood up, and I'll remember this for the rest of my life. And it became my experience on how to communicate with God and how to pray, because he said, God, it's me. I know you're up there somewhere. I haven't heard from you in a while. Don't you think it's about time? And from that day forward, my life has been changed completely, because I had thought that God's love was unattainable for people like us. And now through experience and people and prayer with God, I've been able to communicate with a loving God who gave himself for us on the cross. And Amen. And I think Will, and I think this ministry, and I just love everything about God now, and I'm able to experience his love and then spread it to others.
Good for you. Hey, Michael, listen, people like us, you know this now, obviously, but we're all broken. And as I heard a sermon one time, from God's perspective, we all look the same height, you know? There's no difference. We're all the same when it comes to saying, hey, this person's a little better than this person, or this person's a little, you know, more spiritual than that person, or a little more lost than that person. We're all lost, and we're saved by grace through faith. And as it says in Ephesians 2, and that's not of ourselves, even faith is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. All right, let's get, thank you, Michael. Let's go to New Mexico. Brooke, welcome to Intentional Living Center Live today.
Hello.
Hi there. What have you learned about prayer, Brooke?
Well, I've learned that you've got to trust that it's God's will to answer our prayer, whether you're praying for healing or for him to lift worry or pain off of you. It's his will for us to be healthy, for us to be whole. And also, I've learned that I've had people hurt me, and I've changed from dwelling on that and being hurt by that to praying for them and putting my focus on God, singing Him praise songs. At work, you know, I can't sing out loud, but I just do it in my head, and I pray for them. And it wasn't any time before. Maybe it's my perspective that changed. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Will. I mean, just from a pure human psychological standpoint, we know that what we focus on, what we choose to make as a priority, to front of mind, changes how we view life. I mean, that's not only true for Christian people. That's true for people who are not followers of Christ. It's just the way God made human beings. That's why in Philippians 4:8, when Paul says, whatever things are right and pure and admirable, praiseworthy of good report, focus on these things. Take captive every thought out of obedience to Christ, he says at a later point. The reality is we do become what we think about. Now, that doesn't mean we can just talk ourselves into spirituality or talk ourselves into being a better person, you know, or being happy, because there's those moments when we realize deep inside, if there's nothing behind those happy thoughts, if there's nothing deeper, then the happy thoughts will vanish, just like a bubble will explode. That's why at the end of the day, the stories you're hearing today are people whose lives have been radically transformed from the inside out, seeing prayer as a way of changing a heart that ultimately changes a mind, which ultimately changes the environment in which we're living, at least the way we perceive the environment around us. We're talking prayer today. It's easy to fall into the trap of worry in the world we live. What about the power of prayer? Live from the Intentional Living Center, more still to come.
My name is Angela, and my one thing is to put God back in the center of my life.
My name is Aaron, and my one thing is to change my attitude Start speaking life into my family. Be more encouraging. Stop the criticism.
Pray together.
My name is James Edgar, and my one thing is to work really hard at listening without speaking first. Actually trying to hear what it is that she's saying to me and not have all the answers without hearing the question.
I'm laughing because there are some of us we have the answer even before the question gets started to be asked. Hello, thank you for the reminder. So, listen, I want you to be the counselor for a minute.
All right.
What about a marriage? One piece of advice that you've learned after 16 years of marriage, Mike.
Yes, ma'am. That is happy wife, happy life. I'm telling you, that is not even put on. That is not even maybe. That is like, well, what do you think about it? No, well, me too. Then, you know what I mean? I love that. And there's some times when I really feel like, no, it has to be this way. But I think that she'll listen to that because of the other times when I'm like, no, it can be like what you say right now, you know? And my life is better. And maybe that's because of how awesome of a lady that I married, you know? But that is definitely one thing that everybody said when I first got married, that I was like, this is just what you say or whatever. And I'm like, nope, that one's right.
I agree with you, brother. That's the key. You know what? I think we're going to help Mike Weaver on the cruise coming up. We're going to have a fun time coming up about a month out now from the Alaska cruise. Mike Weaver, Big Daddy Weave, he's going to be there with his guitar and going to be leading us in worship. He's putting on a concert, one of the sessions, and we're just going to have a great time. I get to teach. I get to talk about intentional living. I'm just wrapping up the lessons now. I'm very excited about some of the things we're going to be teaching, just having fun, but really practical things. But most of the time, it's going to be for you and those you bring. We got singles coming. We got married couples. We got families, retirees. I'd love to have you be a part of this. You can still get a cabin today. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Final call, final days now to get that cabin reserved for the cruise. You know, we're talking about worry and prayer. And one of the things we know is that Satan can use any emotion. In fact, think about the passage that says, be angry, but do not sin. In other words, anger has its place. Worry can even have its place if we use it to move us, to motivate us to trust God. And prayer is a part of that process. What do you think? You can join us, 888-888-1717, on our storyline. Love to hear from you today, talking about the power of worry and the power of prayer.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
Thank you. Let's go to David in New Mexico. Today, David, welcome to the Intentional Living Center.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. What have you learned about prayer, David?
I learned you were having some comments on worry. I learned that worry can paralyze me to the point where I can't even think or follow God's leading, and it's critical because my wife's wheelchair bound 40 years this year. There is escalating health problems, and when I look at a wound or a physical illness that in the past she's been in the hospital for a year and a half, nearly died more than once on different occasions, and that fear would just, the worry would just, I'd be almost at the point where I couldn't function. And I learned over a period of time, especially since I can't take credit for learning all of this by myself. I have some good, strong Christian friends that were blunt in their honesty, and they would just tell me, hey, you can either stand there and ball up in a knot and watch her die, or you can get close to God and follow his leading and watch her heal. And people would assume that would be kind of rude, but it's actually what I needed to hear a lot of times, is an honest friend that was willing to confront my fear and my worry and point out what it was, so it wouldn't just dominate everything. Because when I'm worried, excessively worried, I am very short-tempered. I want to be a good husband, and I can't be a good husband if I'm so worried I'm being rude to my wife, too. And as I learned, and as I learned to trust God, there would be times when there'd just be, like I was telling the gentleman that took my call, there'd be these miracles that nobody could explain other than God had moved. We had a prayer meeting one time in our church when she had cancer. They had her prep for surgery. They said, well, we got to go in one last time and check for the exact location of everything and get it set up, so we did it all. And they went in, and there was nothing left. There was no cancer. It was completely gone. There was another occasion when she was in a hospital, and they told us that she would lose her right leg. And a doctor, a member of our church, his mother went through a lot of the same things. And he was in New York, and he checked his prayer requests online from our church and flew back from New York, broke off a meeting, found me at about 6:30 in the morning on a Sunday before church and said, hey, I know how to take care of this. I know who can take care of her, and she won't lose her leg. And he actually helped move her from one hospital to another, and never charged anything. Nobody ever, it was just like God would move these people into place. But when I was worried and when I was forgetting who was the source, I would not even be able to function to the point where I could receive the leading from God to actually connect with the people I needed to connect to take care of her.
Well, you know, I think part of it, David, especially for men, women too, but especially for men, we like to control things. And one of the things we know about worry is the further we get from this moment in time, I mean, this very second, this experience that we're having now, even talking, if you go back a day or two, you think about what could have been, should have been, that creates worry. And if you start thinking about later today, tomorrow, you know, and a year from now, that can create worry. The further we get from this moment in time, worry seems to be a part of our experience because we don't have control. And as humans, we love to control. And so as Christians, learn to be in this moment, you know, this in this experience of this moment, trusting God for this moment and for the future. That's not passivity, meaning we, it doesn't mean that we're not active in the way we live and planning and following through. And that's intentional living, by the way. We need to do that. But we do it out of a attitude of trust and ultimately out of confidence that God is going to be the one that's going to be in charge and not us. You know, we've talked about the power today of prayer. Many calls waiting we didn't get to. But I think the most important message today is you have a choice to make as a Christian today. And it's either to worry, which produces nothing but, well, it can kill you. Let's face it, worry creates a lot of physical and emotional and spiritual damage in our lives. Or we can learn to pray and then move from prayer to the kind of action that we need to do that's intentional living in response to God's intentional love for us. It's been a very practical day. Thanks for those of you who took the time to call.
Hi, my name is Scott. I'm from Michigan. I just wanted to let you know that I really enjoy your show. My wife and I, we've had our problems over the past 25 years. We started about 2 weeks ago praying every morning before we even get out of bed. We both prayed together, and our life is going a lot better. Our marriage is going really well. Our finances are getting better. Things are starting to show progress with our children. We really appreciate it. Thank you very much, and God bless. Bye.
Well, thank you, Scott. Listen, that's why we do this. That's why intentional living exists, is to encourage you. And I'm thinking you're here as a young couple, and you're making a very powerful decision to say, from our spiritual development, we want to do some things together. We're going to pray together, and that's a powerful thing. I am convinced. I've watched marriages. I've studied marriages. I've studied families over the years. And when there's a foundation that we're in the same page when it comes to our faith, and we're going to practice it, and we're going to be intentional in our lives, doesn't mean you have to be perfect, you know, in everything you do, and you don't have to, you know, feel like you have to measure up to some standard that you've seen other people do. Just be yourselves and grow together. The key is in marriage is to be growing together, making it a priority to face down problems with prayer and priorities in your life. It can change everything. And so when I hear your story, Scott, I'm reminded of the thousands of people we've talked to over the years to encourage the same thing, doing the next right one thing. Just imagine for the next 30 days, speaking of marriage, for the next 30 days, what one thing could you do for the next 30 days that would make the single biggest difference in your relationship with your spouse? Prayer we've been talking about today is certainly one thing. Just imagine if every day you say, hey, I haven't done this in the past, but for the next 30 days, even if my spouse doesn't want to join me in doing it together, that I'm going to pray for our marriage and for my spouse every day for the next 30 days. I can guarantee you that 30 days from now, you'll look back and say, wow. One of the things I want to make sure for our kids and grandkids is not only do they make a decision for Christ, but to also help them make decisions like Christ in their lives. You know, I was thinking about that as I was preparing the lesson this month on the power of resiliency. One of the things we need to teach young people is how to make decisions. How to make decisions that they can live with. I mean, we all make decisions sometimes that we struggle with, but you know, as we get older, we look back and there can be a collection of too many bad decisions. So helping kids learn to not only make a decision for Christ, and boy, that's powerful, especially during the young years and the teen years that they find their identity in Christ, but then also help them start to learn to make decisions that are more Christ-like. Sometimes we focus on getting kids to come to a relationship with Christ, encouraging that, but then we kind of leave them and don't help them then choose how to live, how to make decisions. And that's a big part of the lesson this month. So watch for it. It's coming on out to all members of Intentional Living and all new members, those joining us, a part of the community today with your monthly support. Come and join us. We'll get that to you at theintentionallife.com. And by the way, for each person who will share an additional single love gift this month, something to help us with a special gift in May, we're going to be sending you the brand new, just created ebook, audiobook, Your Salvation is Assured. It's a resource that I worked with the staff on that I think you'll find very encouraging. How to establish a firm foundation for your relationship with God. You get that straight. You know, we talk about worry and prayer. You get that straight. The rest of things in life tend to work out a whole lot better. That's why we're so passionate about less regrets. I guess we could call this ministry Less Regrets, and that's a big part of living intentionally. Thanks for joining us today. Remember, instead of worrying, pray more. That's intentional living.